talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marion way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, and we'll guess and goof and talk on Exchange, read, debate, and think it's Exchange. Tune in, we're on, turn on, I'm in, is on today. The Exchange Club.
And away we go with the Exchange Club on this getaway Friday, September the 18th, 2020, 16, coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. Sports Director Emeritus here in Marion, Jeff Ruth, and Kaylee Krieger, who's been with us all morning. Well, Kaylee, you've went over well today. Are you going to come back?
I'm very impressed.
If you'll have me back, yeah.
Well, that's debatable, but, you know, hey, that's one of those things. No, it's we were talking about this, and forget about looks, but it's always been fascinating to me that there are not more women in broadcasting, and I don't think that's just a Marion thing, although it is. Why is that, Jeff? Have you ever worked in any broadcasting outlet that had a lot of women employed on air?
Very first station I was at, our sales manager was a woman. But we had no on-air
right.
people.
Why is that?
The second station I was at, I don't think there was any women there other than the receptionist. And then, of course, MRN, of course, you had Madge. And we had a couple of women on the air at various times, but certainly... Maybe they know how much money there is in radio and they want to do better.
Well, it's, you know, it's fascinating to me because Dave Kaler and I talked about this one time, and he said every city in this state, because Ohio is a big broadcasting, it's Crosley and WLW, we're a big broadcasting state, and he said every city, every major city, you could point to a broadcaster in that area that was the star, and it was a woman. In the old days, and you know, in Marion, it was Madge. Madge was the most well-known.
Ruth Lyons in Cincinnati.
Dorothy Fulltime in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Easter Straker in Lima. Sally Flowers in Columbus. It was always a woman, but it was always one woman.
That's interesting, yeah.
But can you name any man that had the popularity of Fulltime or Lyons or Straker or...
Yeah, Bob Braun in Cincinnati.
I think he got coffee for Ruth Lyons, didn't he? He got her coffee, didn't he? He did. He was her sidekick.
He was, yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, he became pretty famous after that. But, yeah, he got his start, basically, with Ruth Lyons.
And I every time I get the chance, I mention Dorothy because the fact that she's been forgotten is a big, big shame. Dorothy Fulltime was a local Ohio broadcaster in Cleveland, on a Cleveland station that would appear regularly on the Johnny Carson Tonight Show yep. as a guest. She was on Donahue as a guest. She was on national shows, Jack Parr.
She was Barbara Walters before Barbara Walters.
She really was. And that people have forgotten her, I hate, because she was not... Ruth Lyons sang. It was a variety show. Sally Flowers was a variety show. Easter Straker, talk show. Madge, talk show. Dorothy Fulltime was a news person. You know, she interviewed Jimmy Carters and Ronald Reagans, and, you know, she was a real... She interviewed Adolf Hitler, for God's sake. That's how far she went back. But what happened to women? They went away. These were the cornerstones of the state.
I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that. I still remember Dorothy Fulltime the night of the Kent State shootings.
Best story.
And she was in tears. Basically called the Ohio National Guard murderers.
The story is worth telling because people should really look this up. And this only came out years later.
You know more of the story than I do.
It's a quick story.
That's all I remember, basically.
It's a quick story. But Dorothy Fulltime was a news person. She was in Cleveland, and she was not a beautiful woman. Let's put it that way. So she was not of that ilk. Matter of fact, she got into television when she was 50 and was on until she was 91. So she at this point, she was probably in her 70s. But she was known for interviewing famous people and doing daily editorials. She would come on and write an editorial on the evening news. And she was out of, WEWS?
Channel 5.
Channel 5 in Cleveland. And Kent State happened. So the afternoon of Kent State, you know, anybody in that area went there to cover that. She went down and saw the students dead. And she came back on the news that night and wept on the air, cried during her editorial, and called the National Guard murderers live on the air. And this was the most popular woman in Ohio at that time. Well, where this all equates is in her later life, because she was on Johnny Carson and she was on these big shows. Somebody said, well, why did you never leave Cleveland? Why did you always, you had to have offers from big stations. And she said, this is why. When that happened and she came back and did that editorial about the National Guard and murderers, and this is the Vietnam War era, there was backlash. You don't criticize the National Guard. And the roof fell in on her and mail came in by the truckload. Get her off the air. Fire her. She's awful. Get rid of her. And she said it got so bad she had to call the station manager, and she said she called him one night and she said, do you want my resignation? And he said, I think you're 10 foot tall. Go back to bed. And she said, you think I could leave a guy like that? And that's why she stayed. And where's that loyalty now?
I was going to say.
Now we're cancer culture. You say something bad and we will stand as far away from you as we possibly can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
You can't say, well, Jerry Seinfeld, several years ago, and that was, so you refused to do any more comedy shows, basically, especially on college campuses, but generally cut back because people can't take a joke anymore.
But, I mean, can you imagine to the point to where you think you have to resign? Yeah. And all he says to you is, I think you're 10 foot tall, go to bed.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was willing to take the heat. And I'm sure he was taking it at that point. Why don't we have loyalty like that anymore? Where did that go?
It's too easy to get out. You have a fight with somebody. Maybe you didn't get along with a coworker. You know, you hashed it out the next day or you talked about it. Or you just kind of avoided that person. Now it's like, yeah, I don't have to take this. I'm just going to quit. I'll find another job.
But is there a Dorothy? Is there a 10-foot-tall person that you really think if they go that she's irreplaceable? I'm sure that played into it. She was hugely popular. She made a lot of money for that station. I'm sure more than she made.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if there's that anymore.
Yeah.
But the fact that she's been forgotten, she needs to be brought up as often as possible, because being in Ohio, and she's never mentioned in the vein of the people we say are famous in Ohio. And she was a very famous woman, went on into the 80s. But where did the women go? Madge, you're right, absolutely. Here locally, she was the lady. She was the one you went to if you wanted something on the air. She was there for 52 years, I think, at the end, had been on the air. But when she left, no woman could fill those shoes. Were you there when she left?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, why? They did hire a woman to come in and do her show, but it didn't work out right.
No. No, not at all.
So what was it? What happened there? Why could nobody come in and do that?
You have that longevity. Same thing with Charlie.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, when Charlie left in 80 to go to DIF, for the next 10 years, they tried all different kinds of people. And nothing really worked because, you know, Charlie had that niche. And even though I don't know that a lot of people listened to Charlie on DIF that used to listen to him on MRN, there just wasn't that same, you know, getting up in the morning and listening to, you know, people walk around the coffee table.
Well, this is the interesting thing. You know, it comes back to our earlier conversation. It's interesting to look at it on a local level, because certainly here in Marion, we're not, you know, driven by certain things that maybe national companies are. But Madge would not have been considered a beautiful woman. I don't, you know, Charlie, he wasn't, you know, he wouldn't have been a leading man in a movie.
No.
None of us would have.
No.
But they were the ones. They're the ones you remember the most. They're the ones that had the longest careers. They're the ones that were the best at it. So does talent count? I think it does.
And, you know, getting involved in the community. I know and again, between 80 and 90, we had a lot of different people that would come in, and I couldn't tell you any of the names probably in that 10-year period, but one person that came in, I think he might have been from Boston or somewhere along the East Coast, and he came in, and he had been at a fairly good-sized station, and he came in, I don't know if he was the one that replaced Charlie, but within the first year or so, and he came on, and he did his shtick, and I didn't think it was, you know, very entertaining. He was on 6 to 10 or whatever, and he'd do his production, and 11 o'clock, noon, when he was done, he went home. He had no desire to join the Kiwanis or do any of the station functions that, especially in a small station, but even like in a Columbus or Cleveland, you do the clothing drives, you do the Toys for Tots and that kind of, and you have to want to do that. And he had no desire to do any of that.
I'll believe that to a certain degree. But I think if Madge and Charlie had gotten up in the morning and went home and never did anything at night, I still think they would have worked on the air. I do.
I don't know.
See, I'll tell you why I believe this. Because I think they... I still listen to Charlie's repeats now. And they're entertaining. Some people's aren't. They're just some people whose shows are not worth, you know, in my opinion, listening to. I think it goes back to what Jack Benny says, and maybe this is the best line. Jack Benny said, if the audience likes you, that's the best thing that can happen to you. If they don't like you, there's nothing you can do about it. And I don't think if you go out and do Kiwanis and do all, if they don't like you, I don't think you'll be around very long.
Yeah, well,
but you don't think it can grow, like, by doing that stuff? Because I feel like getting out into the community and being that and trying to be that figure will show more than you not doing it.
I think it can help you, but if you're on the air every morning, and let's say you love politics. Jeff, you were replaced by Chip Henson, or whatever his name is. Why can't I remember this guy's name? He's national. He's out of Massachusetts. Gordon Deal.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, man, I'm so proud of myself today. So you got replaced by a guy who does the same show 4 hours. Same show for days. He tapes it at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they replay it at 7, 8, and 9. So that's who you got replaced by. Now clearly nobody's listening to that garbage, because you can bring Gordon Deal and send him over to Kiwanis. It ain't gonna work, because that's not working here. And I think there is something to that. Like, if you have a predilection for politics.
Boy, another big word.
I'm pulling out the degree today.
I guess. Is it Big Word Friday?
Big Word Friday. You're on the station. If you love politics and that's what you talk every morning because that's what interests you, and the audience doesn't like politics, I don't think because they met you at Kiwanis that's going to make them listen to you. I think they gotta like you. It helps. It helps to be out in the community. I don't know if it can make you, though. Do you think if any of those people had went out in the community that they would have been big?
Hard to say, because none of them lasted very long.
I mean, I think you're looking more too into, like...
It's hard to meet everybody.
That's who they were before, you know. They never went out into the community, but I think maybe had they gone out, seen what people desire to hear about, maybe they changed up their bit and it wasn't just about politics all the time, and they start talking about some things more that the community wants to hear about, and maybe that helps. I mean, do you
know
what I'm saying?
I don't know, because, you know, it's interesting, because the second trade-off with Charlie was Jeff. You replaced Charlie.
Yeah.
Well, you did. Primarily, you were certainly more interested in sports than Charlie was.
Right.
Charlie didn't do sports.
Yeah.
So the people who were listening to Charlie were listening to no sports. But people who listened to you got sports pretty well every half hour.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it was the same audience?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's just you got to like the person. If you don't like the person, forget it. I think Jack Benny was right. I don't think you can get an audience back if they don't like you. But I think if they like you, I think anything can be forgiven if they like you. I mean, you've had some errors, right? On the air.
Couple.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they forgave it because they liked you. They wanted you to come back the next day. You know, and I think, well, I remember one of the, you were a big Joe Nuxall person, or at least you listened to him.
Listen to the rest, yeah.
And he one time said a horrible thing on the air that you can't say.
About Johnny Bench.
About Johnny Bench. But people forgave it because they like Joe Nuxall.
That's a good example.
Yeah. But had that been Bob Henson, I think he'd have been out of a job. But it's not. So, yeah, I mean, you got to be right.
And the times were different then than they are now. I mean, you look at what Tom Brenneman said a month or so ago. If he had made that comment 20 years ago, you know, he was quoting a line from Blazing Saddles. If he had used that line 20 years ago, he might have said, I shouldn't have said that. It won't happen again. But he wouldn't have been taken off Fox Sports and doing the Sunday football games and that sort of thing. So times have changed. If Joe Nuxall were alive today and he said that today about Trevor Bauer, he wouldn't have been forgiven nearly as easily.
But you know, it is at the bottom line. Because I always wonder when I see this cancel culture, are they looking for a reason to get rid of that person who's a staple? I mean, is it their reason to get rid of them? Because a lot of times it is forgiven with some people. Like Rush Limbaugh made some comments a few years ago that he got taken to task for about women. Yeah. Rush is still there because he makes that company a lot of money. But
he was taken off Monday Night Football for a racial comment.
Exactly. So is it at that point just a reason to get... Can you get rid of the people who you want to? How much is the audience really playing into this that's out there picketing? If you really want to keep the guy or the woman, are you going to keep him?
Well, I listened to WLW the next morning after the whole Tom Brenneman thing, and almost every caller that called in said, okay, he made a mistake, you know, don't take away his career, that sort of
exactly.
thing. But it was management that... Fox Sports, this happened was on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night. The next morning, you know, Fox Sports took him off, you know, basically fired him right then. You know, they didn't give him time to explain or anything. It was just, you know, that kind of language cannot be tolerated.
Well, and that makes me think maybe they just did not want him there anymore. If the audience was that forgiving, because I think of Woody Hayes. You know, we're talking about Big Ten football here.
Charlie Baumann
punched him
yeah.
right under the mask, and he was fired before he got off the plane. Now, Woody Hayes was an icon, but they had made that decision very quickly.
They had, yeah.
And I think he was an icon. They couldn't get him out of there. He certainly wasn't the coach he had once been, and this was their way to do it. This was their out, because they certainly didn't have a meeting with him. So I think that's probably sometimes what goes on. You know, a person wields a lot of power, and you can't get rid of them just to fire them. Then you become the evil person. But if they give you a reason, then you can do it.
That interesting perspective, yeah.
Yeah, I think that happens a lot. Because Woody Hayes did a lot of awful stuff in the height of his career, too, I think. And nobody, you know, he wasn't fired then. But at that age and stage, it was time to go. And they brought him back, and he dotted the I and gave commencement speeches and all that.
He was here at the Popcorn Festival.
He was at the Popcorn Festival. So he was still honored, but that's the way it goes. Did you know that there was such a rich history in broadcasting for women, and then it all dissipated?
No, absolutely.
What would you make of that? Just as learning this, what do you think happened? Oh, and we need to also mention Marianne Michaels here in town. Oh. She certainly cut her path.
And I think of Mona Scott, maybe in the last 25 years, but you know, and I can think, you know, Yolanda Hare. I mean, I can name you, the anchors at 4, 6, and 10, but 20, 30 years from now, they're not going to have a presence. People aren't going to remember. Taking nothing away from Yolanda Harris, but I don't think in 30 years people are going to say, well, do you remember when Yolanda Harris did this?
Well, the people who were there 30 years ago, I mean, who do we remember from that group? That would have started around 1990. I mean, where's that group at?
Yeah, well, Jim Ginnall.
Jim Ginnall.
Because he's still on the air.
And you can't miss him. I feel bad for Jim. I just, honest to God, I mean... Something needs to happen there.
Well, I mean, he retired.
Jim's been on this show, by the way. I know he has. So I'm not being rude to Jim Ganahl.
But he retired and he came back, but he was only coming back for like a month or a few weeks. And that was 4 years ago? 5 years ago. I'm amazed that he continues to do as many shows as he does. I mean, he does the evening. He'll do the early morning. I mean, he does any and all shifts out there.
He does, but we all know because of his history, he has congestive heart failure. He doesn't look well, and it's sad. That I think this is what people will remember, that this is his, you know, that the station he was so famous for being at, which is a much more watched station than the one he's at now, I'm sure it's clear to me now that they let him go. I'm not saying they fired him, but it's clear they did not renew his contract or he wouldn't be over at the other station now.
Yeah, and he had that run-in with Bob Nunnally.
Oh, that's right.
That I don't know anybody really knows exactly, you know, what happened with that.
But Bob Nunnally still got his job there.
He's still there.
So we know who won that run.
Yeah.
And you also have the incident that he had in the early 80s that we were all aware of with Jim Ganahl, which was a big story. He survived that, but, you know, that wasn't a pleasant story for him. So, yeah, I mean, it's good he's still around, but I don't know if he's. I don't know if he'll go down like Joe Holbrook. I think Joe Holbrook is probably the meteorologist that probably would carry the most clout in Ohio. Jimmy Crum is certainly going to be the sports guy that carried the most clout. I think that the anchor probably will be Doug Adair. There was something about Doug Adair. It wasn't longevity because he wasn't here as long as other people, but he was as professional and as network of a news anchor that you would have ever found. The woman news anchor, I think it's Colleen Marshall. I think she's very good.
I think Colleen Marshall, yeah.
I think she's very good. And I think that's why she's had the longevity she's had. So, why don't we have more women?
I don't know. I think you have to have a specific personality for it. And maybe these women that are going for it just don't have what it takes. I don't know.
They become the traffic girl. That's what it becomes now. Mm-hmm. What is that position? Honest to goodness, the traffic girl. You wouldn't have the traffic guy.
Remember, you used to have a couple of Columbus radio stations, and I think it was Channel 10, that had either the plane or the helicopter. I mean, obviously that got to be, you know, pretty expensive. But yeah, they used to, you know, Eye in the Sky or Chopper 10 or whatever. That's obviously gone away.
They all have the same name. They're like Brittany or Ellie or what. Let's go over to Ellie and see what the traffic's like this morning. There she is. It's a dark picture. Well, the I-71 corridor is backed up this morning. Back to you. Yeah. That's all she does. What is that? Yeah. But, you know, I'll tell you, and she's been very forthright about this, is Monica Day in Columbus, who I think she's still there, isn't she? Is Monica Day still there in the morning?
As far as I know.
Well, she was a beauty queen, and she got a lot of flack, because I think she was the traffic girl there for a while. But she moved into the anchor, and people have weight-shamed her, because she got bigger as time went on. And she's talked about that, how people have been very nasty to her on social media about that. That's interesting. You wouldn't, you know, Jim Ganahl ain't getting that type of mail
over
there.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Why is that? What? And you certainly can't say, let's play a part if Jim Ganahl's got a job down there. And
that's what we're saying, though. Women do. And so the fact that she did take some heat because she gained weight and people noticed means that they're watching for her. So they're noticing it when she has some changes. And
what kind of a person, though, puts something, sends a message to somebody that they don't know saying, you know, you're too fat, you need to get off the air?
It's messed up, but like, as women, that is what happens. You'd be shocked on how many people will flat out just tell you, you're fat, you need to lose weight, or like, you're too big, or like, you're cute for a big girl.
Is that a compliment?
That's what people say.
But do they mean that compliment? Because I'm thinking that the person who says that probably thinks they're
Oh, that's nasty. Saying
it as a compliment.
Oh, it's a bad compliment. I wouldn't say it.
They think they're saying it as a compliment.
I think they do think they're saying something nice.
When they say you're cute for a big girl, like they're not, the intentions behind the comment isn't supposed to be like.
Right, I think they think they're meaning it nice.
But you should have just been like, you're cute.
No, that's wrong.
That's what I'm saying, though, but like that's what women are used to, so. We know what people are going to notice.
Yeah, but fat's still the last one that you can get. You can still make fun of fat and get away with it. There used to be stuff you could make fun of and not get away with. Or you could get away, you won't get away with it now. Like mental illness. Same sex. There was little innuendos you could make about things like that. You can't do that anymore. People don't take that. But being big, yeah, you can still do that. People will do that.
For men. But there's not a lot of big women that you could make comments like that to unless they're very, very confident within their body. But, like, it's still okay to be the fat guy. Like, that's funny. Like, guys still do that. Like, they don't care. But if you do that with a woman, you try and say, like, anything like that. Like, you call a woman fat, and that's, like, the end of the world.
I don't think you could call a woman fat. I think the fans can do that because they're anonymous. I don't think you could do it on the air. I don't think you could make a fat joke and get away with it.
No.
If you were another person on the set.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but you could do it with a guy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, you could do it with a guy, but you wouldn't be able to do it with a woman.
Well, they call, like, hey, Big Jim, get over there and do the news. You know, I'm sure that happens down there. And people don't take it personally.
No.
But you couldn't say, get over there, Big Kimmy. There'd be problems. You'd be in the HR office.
You would be in the HR office.
But how many big women are there on television? Can you name any?
Not that many because, I lost my train of thought.
Is there any? We have 4 stations in Columbus. Is there any overweight woman on television?
Huh. None that I can think of.
Boy, that's awful,
isn't
it?
But you wonder why.
Yeah, but, I mean, is it them? Do they just not want those jobs? Because a lot of people are self-conscious, don't want to see themselves on camera, don't want to...
Yeah, but if you think of movie stars, like actresses, like you have... What's her name? She was in Pitch Perfect.
Mike and Molly. She's doing very well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't know what her name was, but her...
Rosie O'Donnell was big. In all senses of the word. In every sense of the word, Rosie was big. Oprah? Oprah was big at times. People love Oprah. You know, I think they need to get a big woman on television down there in Columbus. I better just spike their ratings right up. Because that's how most people are. People relate to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They don't want Kimmy over there doing the, change the channel. We don't want to see her doing the traffic report. We need more diversity. In the news.
Yeah, I
would agree.
Well, I'm thinking about this because I'm also thinking how diverse are we when it comes to race or ethnicity or those things? Are we? I mean, we have Bob Nunnally, and we have the guy who took over for Mike Jackson on Channel 4. Jerry Revish was there for a long time.
Yeah, Rodney Donegan's at Channel 6.
Yeah.
Matt Barnes at Channel 4.
So, yeah. Has there ever been an African-American on the air in Marion? I mean, Linda, here. But was there ever one in MRN who had any kind of a run, male, female?
No.
That's awful.
Not in the 40 years I was there, no.
80 years. And there was never a black personality on the air. Now, do you think that was conscious or not unconscious?
I don't recall ever that a black person came in to apply for a job.
That's what I was about to say. Well, if you don't have anybody who applies, you can't have diversity.
Right. Well, isn't that interesting, though? So, I mean, how do we know that, if you're a good-looking person, you might want to be on television. If you feel you're not, maybe you don't. And you don't go apply for those jobs. Couldn't it be the same?
I'm not, and I hadn't even really given this any thought, but say 20 years ago, say we had a black person come in and apply for an on-air position or a sales position. Since we were so white, I think there might have been a tendency to say, okay, if this guy is qualified, let's take a shot. Let's see what he can do.
Well, it's interesting here because Linda's been with us since the beginning, and Seth Sullinger was here for a period of time, and I never thought about it.
Yeah, and it's not like, you know, we had people come in, apply, and WMRN never called them back. We just never had anybody come in, to my knowledge, that ever applied for that for a position, be it on the air or receptionist, sales, whatever.
Well, and that, you know, it's interesting because, this is a broadcasting question, because I still, and I know there is a station that does it, and they can do it all day long, that's fine, I'm not passing judgment on them, but I don't know how you can air Amos and Andy on radio today. Even with a disclaimer, I don't know how you do it. I think that I understand, it was very popular in those days, it was a hit show, but the show, it's two white guys trying to act and speaking in a dialect that they think is a black person's dialect.
Did you see the movie 42?
Yes, loved it.
It's a terrific movie. That was on one of the channels here in the last week or so, and was flipping the dial and came across, and was kind of towards the beginning of the movie. But there are a couple of scenes where it might have been the Philadelphia manager, I can't recall, but he was very outspoken, yelling from the dugout. And I really thought that they would have bleeped everything.
Oh, out. I know what you're talking about. I know the scene you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And I was almost, I don't want to say I was offended that it did, but in listening to that 3 or 4 minutes where the manager is, you know, egging on Jackie Robinson, you know, you don't belong, whatever, I was very uncomfortable, you know, seeing that, you know, unedited version. Obviously, you know, I mean, despicable things happened to Jackie Robinson, and things are still happening to black athletes. But that made me very uncomfortable, even though it was a movie. And I remember my dad and I saw that movie in the movie theater when it first came out, and it didn't have the same, for whatever reason, it didn't have the same effect in the movie theater. But when I was by myself watching it, I got very uncomfortable with that kind of language. And I don't know if that means that from the time that movie came out 5 years ago, 6 years ago, to where we are now, we've gotten to the point where we're that much more conscious of that kind of language. I think we probably are.
Well, the thing about that in particular, have you ever seen 42? You ought to watch. It's a great movie. Great. And the poor star just died.
Just died a few
just
weeks
died.
Ago. Yeah.
42 years old of colon cancer. Mm. Awful. Chadwick Boseman, mm-hmm. That was his name, and Harrison Ford is in that, and you wouldn't know it was Harrison Ford as Branch Rickey, and he's tremendous. But I think in a movie, I think the reason you can do that is because this movie is showing what Jackie Robinson had to overcome.
Yeah.
So I think that's more contextual. The reason I think Amos and Andy putting it on now, what's the context of that? What are you trying to show by putting that on the air? Are you trying to show that this is how goofy we were 80 years ago? Or are you saying funny is funny? I'm not really sure. That's why Amos and Andy would make me very uncomfortable hearing it today. I mean, you've heard Amos and Andy.
Yeah, not a lot, and I haven't heard Amos and Andy in a long time. But yeah, if I sat down and listened to an episode, it might be an eye opener. I think back to you mentioned Jack Benny earlier, Rochester. I mean, you couldn't put a character like Rochester on television today.
The only thing, reason I think you could get by with Jack Benny today, putting the show on, is because if you listen to those, even though Rochester is speaking in a strange dialect that I think they're saying is a black person's dialect, a black man did portray Rochester. Mm-hmm. And in the Jack Benny show, he's the smartest one in the group. You know, it's kind of like Benson on Soap years later. He was the butler, but he's the smart one in the group. And I think Rochester didn't go as far as Benson did, but, you know, Jack Benny was the idiot. And Rochester was showing... Amos and Andy, they're not showing... That's... I know you've never seen Amos and Andy. You should listen... I'm sure it's on the internet. Listen to an episode one time and think of what you would think of
I
that.
I probably won't like it.
Well, but no. I mean, what do you think about a station in 2020 airing that in its entirety? Because it's not, there's no words in there you can't say, but just airing it and saying this is okay.
I don't think it would come across very well.
I think it'd be tough. I think that's a very, it's, I'm still trying to find out what the justification could be behind airing that, because it's funny, I guess. But I don't know that... I think I would get very much the same feeling, and I haven't heard an Amos and Andy for a long time, that I would get... And of that era, there were people on who did not do that. You know, Bob Hope had, who were some big singers and actors of that day? There were some. Who's the guy who did all the Christmas songs? Nat King Cole.
Okay.
You know, Nat King Cole didn't come on and do that Amos and Andy shtick.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know why we do that, but it's an interesting study in race. But women got the right to vote after... Women were the last to get the right to vote, let's put it that way. Women have only had the right to vote for 100 years. Can you imagine? Why do you think it took so long?
I don't know.
Well, and even back when it finally passed, there were a lot of women that didn't want women to vote.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There is always an internal group that...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I don't know what that was. I don't know if they felt... Some people are just with the time. You know, it's... This is the way it's always been, so this is the way it should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like dowries and things back in those days. This is the way it's always been. This is the way it should be.
Like, well, you remember the show with Diane Carroll, Julia. I mean, that was Mission Impossible with Greg Morris. I mean, those were shows in the 60s, and when those shows came out, they had controversy because it was a black star.
Absolutely. Oh, and who was the actress who...
I Spy, Bill Cosby. I mean, there was backlash.
Who was the person they danced together on television? And, ooh, you didn't do that. You did not have a white man and a black woman dancing together on television. That was unheard of. That's how silly, and within the times we live in, that it was. Because television's still a fairly new medium. 1950 is when it hit its stride. You know, it was very, you know... You didn't put these people on, and you didn't do this, and you... Who were the big women in television in the early days? You know, you had Milton Berle and Red Skelton and that group, Bob Hope. But who were the women? You know, they were tea pourers.
Yeah.
You know?
Donna Reed.
Yeah.
Barbara Billingsley. I mean, you always laughed. You know, she always did the silver wearing her... you know, with dress and high heels on, but she was always scrubbing the silver. You couldn't get any shows any whiter than Andy Griffith or Leave It to Beaver or Donna Reed or Father Knows Best.
But people feel that's idealistic in a way. Have you ever noticed we need to go back to that time? That gets thrown around a lot. It was a simpler time. We left our doors unlocked. I don't know. I don't know what that's a sign of. Because Andy Griffith still plays very well today.
Yeah.
All over. Is it because it's a good show? Or is it because it represents an interesting time?
I think people think, boy, it'd be nice to live back in those kind of times. Yeah.
But is that a good thing to think with what that show portrayed?
Gives us a way to kind of escape what's going on in our lives. We sometimes you just need to, same thing with sports, that 2 hours or 3 hours or a half hour of the Andy Griffith Show, you just kind of need that. You can't take news 24/7, and you just got to step away from it sometimes.
I still think news is the new Hollywood. You know, Hollywood used to be, we had Entertainment Tonight and all these programs, and all they did was cover entertainment. Have you noticed now that it is politics? Everybody knows who the president is. Everybody knows who's running against the president. People know their congressman. They didn't used to know who their congressman was. Who knows about Hollywood anymore? There are actresses, you could say their name, and nobody would have a clue. There's nobody on planet Earth who doesn't know who Donald Trump or Joe Biden is right now. Used to be the opposite. You know, certainly...
But isn't that how it gets when it comes election time every year? Like, I wasn't even able to vote for the last presidential election, but I knew who the two candidates were. I mean, that's all we talked about. That's all we talked about last time.
Right, but what has changed? Because I don't think if you would have went to the 1970s, if you would have said Archie Bunker, Jimmy Carter, I think more people would have known Archie Bunker.
Yeah, back in the 70s, yeah. You're probably right, yeah.
And here's the president. But
I wonder how a Ross Perot or someone like that would do in this year's election. Because there's just... I mean, there's... You know, for years, I mean, okay, you know, you could go one way or the other, but when the day was over, if you lose, okay, life will still go on. There's a feeling out there now that no matter which side wins, there's going to be rioting the next day.
And there will be.
And it's just, yeah, and we've gotten to that point, and you just wonder if there was a legitimate third party out there, how many people would gravitate towards that third party?
Well, what I'm weirded out by this year is in 2016, there was this big thing. It's not so much there this year, but it was the lesser of two evils. Vote for the lesser of two evils with Hillary and Trump. But I knew and I saw Gary Johnson signs, who was the Libertarian. I knew that Jill Stein was the Green Party. They were getting coverage. Who's the Green Party and Libertarian this year?
No. Not
we don't know anything about them.
Nothing.
Where'd they go?
Yeah.
Now, is that being done on purpose? Because I'm sure they've got candidates, and I'm sure they've got ballot access in 50 states. They always have. But why are we not hearing about them? Why did we hear about them in 2016, and we're not hearing about them now? Gary Johnson...
I just think there's such a feeling that we either got to go this direction... or that direction.
Yeah, so I know, like, for a lot of, like, the people I'm around, like, we're not talking about third parties at all because, I mean, if you look at any of the people, because, like, our generation, again, this is our first year to vote for a presidential election, they're like, why would you vote third party? Because all you're really doing is splitting the votes for, you know, maybe one of the candidates you don't want.
But they knew that in 2016.
Yeah, but
nobody wanted Gary Johnson to be president. But they voted for him because it was... In 2016, the truth was, if you look back at it, it was, I'm a Republican, I can't stand Donald Trump.
There were people that voted in 2016 that just could not put their X or their check mark next to either candidate.
Our governor was one of them. Kasich said he would not, he wrote in John McCain, I think is what he said he did. Mm-hmm. And you had that in 2016. This year, what do you do? Yeah. You know, and I still contend, and we'll get your opinion on this, is a good subject to wrap up today on. I don't...
Since we spent so much time on sports.
Yeah, we did. Well, by the way, you can catch Jeff tonight at 7 p.m.
I'm glad she came in. She's offered some very good insights.
Well, I think these are topics that should be covered and broached in media, but, you know... Is this really an election between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, or is this an election of I like Trump or I hate Trump? Is the Democrat irrelevant in this particular election?
No. I think
I wouldn't say irrelevant.
You think somebody's really out there saying, boy, I'm so glad that Joe Biden is in there, and if it were another Democrat, I wouldn't vote for him?
I literally don't think people care that it's Joe Biden. I literally think they're like, either you're going to vote for Trump or you're going to not, or you're going to vote despite him. That's
right,
literally
and that's kind of what Scott was saying.
Yeah. Do you think anybody's a big Joe Biden fan out there? Do you think they're like, yeah, this is the guy. Thank goodness he's running.
This is our man.
This is our man. I don't see that. I saw that with Hillary, you know, but I don't see that with Biden. I saw that with Obama. I saw that with Trump. I saw that with Mitt Romney. I don't think this is an election about Joe Biden. I think he knows it.
Yeah.
I think he knows this is about I love Trump or I hate Trump. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what they're voting for mm-hmm. when they go in this time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get Joe Biden, he will be a president who was elected, if he is, strictly out of spite. Because I don't think there's ever been, whether you like him or hate him, more of a divisive president. There's no middle ground with Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Nobody's iffy on him.
Yeah.
Nobody either, oh yeah, I like him about this, but I can't stand him. Over Do you like him or you hate him? And that's what it is.
Yeah.
But, and what does that mean for Election Day? Which group turns out bigger? The lovers or the haters?
We'll find out.
We'll find out November 3rd. All indications
Maybe we will find out on November. We may find out in January or February.
Give us just something to yell about over Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How are those votes coming?
Oh, yeah.
What are we
Thanksgiving
doing?
This year is going to be very testy in a lot of families' homes, I think.
I'm still waiting to see, can they have the big church dinners with COVID? If you wear a mask, do you have social distance? Is it all going to be takeout? How are we going to do that?
Yeah, stay tuned to come. I go to Epworth, and we always do a big Christmas dinner. And I know there's talking about maybe doing something prior, like maybe the weekend before. If you come to the church, now, this isn't gospel, so don't come to the church. But talking about, because we would get 350 people, maybe 400 people, for and everybody's sitting next to each other, maybe doing something maybe that Sunday before where you can come to the church and we might have like a ham and a bag of mashed potatoes and a can of corn and dinner rolls and just giving out bags to people that come to the church, doing something like that. I don't think any decision's been made, but we're talking still more than 3 months away, but seriously talking about not doing a Christmas Eve dinner. I was thinking the other day about the popcorn, the peanut push. Is there going to be a peanut push this year? You're certain, maybe we could probably do it if you're 6 feet apart, but if you're not going to school and people aren't going to be comfortable, being in a position where they're out trying to push a peanut, I don't know if they're going to do. There's so many unknowns out there. Halloween. I know DeWine said yesterday he was going to have some guidelines for Halloween coming out today.
It's going to be interesting. In Dayspring, I still think that's the biggest Thanksgiving. What are they going to do this year?
Yeah, Dayspring and Emmanuel both do their Thanksgiving. Yeah,
and they're for the most part packed.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. Now, we do want to mention before we go today, like I said, it is important because tonight is it's the rival game, and especially in these COVID times, it's about the only way you're going to hear it unless you know somebody at the school. It'll be on 1490 AM WMRN starting at 7 p.m. Jeff Ruth.
Do I have 30 seconds?
Go ahead.
Last week, we were at River Valley. In the past, we've always sat in the press box. Well, with the scorekeeper and the timekeeper, and you have a couple of assistant coaches, we were on the roof. Last week. So Rob McCurdy from the Star and I, we climbed the 6-7 steps from the press box to get onto the roof. And actually, we enjoyed it. It was kind of cool, but you could hear the coaches talking. You could hear the hitting. You could hear the band a lot. But when you're in a press box, windows are closed, you really can't, hear all of that. So, and we're back there next week for River Valley Hardy. I'm hoping it's a nice night next Friday night. We're going to ask to sit
up on the roof.
On the roof, because you get more of the feel of the game itself. But it was a case there. They could, they couldn't have Rob and two people from the radio station and the scorekeeper and the timekeeper and the assistant. They wouldn't all fit in there. So we ended up going on the roof. And actually, it worked out pretty well.
Interesting. That's interesting. That's it. Do you want to let people know the Richland Road Church of Christ, 535 Richland Road, tomorrow, 9 a.m. It's a clothing and food bank giveaway. There you go. We do want to say that I'll be on tonight with a special guest. I think you'll enjoy the special guest tonight, 8 to 10. And if the game's over by 10, Jeff will call in and give us the score and tell us what happened. We want to thank Kaylee for coming in today for 5 hours. Did you have fun?
Yeah, thanks for having me. And
we'll 5 hours is a long time, isn't
but
it?
But did it seem like 5 hours?
No.
There you go. That's a good thing. It did seem like 3 hours.
No.
Blows right by. And I know you won't say it, but who's going to win tonight? Just not a favorite. Who do you think? Give me a prediction, just so tonight when
no,
we
I'm not giving you any bulletin board material.
No, it's just a prediction.
Like when they do the NFL or the college picks, right. Like if Kirk Herbstreit is covering Auburn, Alabama, and he does not pick because he's covering the game. I'm gonna use that out. I will tell you off the air, but I am not okay. going to tell you on the air.
Tell me that Jimmy the Greek would be very unhappy with you right now. But tell me this.
Jimmy's dead,
and he's also a famous Ohioan up there in Steubenville, buried in about 7 different places. Don't have to tell me who's going to win. Tell me what, because you have a guess. You just said you had a guess. What will the final score be? I just want to see how close you'll get.
28-21.
I'm going to write this down tonight. So when you call in, 28-21. All right. That's a close game.
That is a close game.
You say Pleasant, but you're a homer.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's my alumni. So, you know, that's my high school.
7 p.m. tonight, and we'll be here at 8, so tune in. And a special guest who's never been on the show tonight before will be here with me for 2 hours, so stay tuned to that. Much more programming coming up, a special encore edition Best of the Charlie Evers Show coming up in about 10 minutes. Stay tuned.
WGH, to listen anywhere in the world.
This is Earl Fitzamerican. You're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.